Welcome to the Digital Story Show, new tools for the creative mind. The Digital Story Show takes you inside with tips for the creative pursuit of photography, music, video, hardware, software, techniques, and hacks. You'll soon find yourself thinking less about buttons and menus and more about expressing the artist inside us all. Now the Digital Story Show with Derek Story.
The Digital Story Show with Derek Story. Today's topic is iPhoto 6 right for you. Well, welcome back again to another audio broadcast of the Digital Story Show. I have a couple goodies for you today before we get into talking about more photo editing. That's right. As you may recall, a couple weeks ago, I talked about Aputure and Lightroom. Aputure being the new pro-level photo editing app from Apple. And then, of course, Lightroom, which is Adobe's entry into this field. And then we had Macworld, and, of course, as expected, iLife 06 was announced. And that includes all sorts of good stuff. iTunes, of course, GarageBand, iMovie HD, a new app called iWeb, and iPhoto 6. The latest version of it's actually the fifth version of iPhoto, even though it's called iPhoto 6, and that's a little bit of Apple trivia there. When they went to iLife 04, they just decided to call it iPhoto 4, even though it was really iPhoto 3, I think. Funny how these things work. Anyway, so today what I really want to do is talk a little bit about iPhoto 6 because they made some big changes to it. And one of the big changes that they've made is they don't force you to copy all of your images into an iPhoto library anymore. You can keep them organized on your hard drive and then point to them, and much like iView Media Pro. So this is a big change. And I think when you couple it with all the other iPhoto features, then iPhoto 6 becomes very attractive for a lot of people. So I'm going to just talk about that a little bit today, just to kind of give you a feel for the application as you're trying to figure out which way you're going to go with your photo editing or what changes that you might have to make in your current system of organization. So before we do that, let's just cover a couple things here. One thing that jumped out at me, those of you that download this broadcast through iTunes, they've added iTunes reviews now. This show actually has a review. And any of you that are iTunes subscribers can post a review. So here's what I'm thinking. I'm thinking that if you're enjoying the show and if you think it's worthwhile, certainly the price is right, then if you have a moment, I'd like it if you post a review, and let's get a few more reviews up there. Is every time someone posts a review, I think people that are browsing get a little better feel for the show because everyone says a little something different, or they say it differently anyway. And if you're not real crazy about the show, and you're just listening to it because you enjoy torture, then send me a note and let me know what you don't like about it, and I'll just sort of factor that in as I do everything else, and because I'm always trying to make this thing better. So, but if you do like the show, I would encourage you to go ahead and post a reader review on iTunes, and let's see if we can get a few more in there. Give potential listeners a better idea of what this is all about. And the last thing, remind you again about grab shots. My gosh, we've had some really good ones lately. But don't be intimidated. Now, if you see some stuff on the site, two things come to mind. One, keep working at it. Try to get something that you think is really good. And two, if you're in doubt, send it in and let me take a look at it. But we want to keep them going. I just think it's a great feature, and I really enjoy seeing your shots. So thank you all for sending them in. And by the way, I am still compiling my list of all your suggestions for the show. So just know that those are all going into the hopper, and I'm trying to find ways to get them all hooked together so I can keep it interesting. All right, so much for housekeeping. Let's talk about iPhoto 6 for a minute. Actually, I'm going to back up. Let's talk about why do you need a photo editing application? And, you know, I covered this a little bit when I talked about Aperture and Lightroom. And it really comes down to just a few basic things. First, you need to keep track of your photos. Okay. Keeping track of them with the file system is, over time, I just don't think it's going to work out very well for you. And again, I'm talking, this doesn't make any difference what platform you're on, you know, Windows or Mac. Just strictly file system management, I think, is a tough way to go. So to have a container, you know, and there are all sorts of them. Windows users can download Picasa from the Google site. Adobe already has an application for Windows users, although I think Lightroom is going to be much better. iView Media Pro, I think, works on both platforms, both Mac and PC. Very good, although it's you know, starting to get into, you'll spend some dollars on it. So I think it's over $200 these days. I'll double check that and make sure I have it listed correctly in the show notes. And then on the Mac, of course, right now, we have Aperture at the high end and the latest version of iPhoto 6. So all these applications are designed to help you keep track of your stuff, organize it. One of the very important functions of it, I think, is being able to add keywords. I think adding keywords is a really big deal because it makes it much easier later on for you to search and find certain types of images. For instance, I'm working on this article right now for Macworld magazine about archiving your old prints, digitizing them and archiving them. And so two of the keywords that I'm using for this project as I bring them into iPhoto is a scan and black and white, because I'm working with black and white images that I printed way back when. By adding the keyword, by doing something as simple as adding the keyword scan to this, then later on, years later, if I want to know all the images that I have in hard copy that I scanned and I brought into iPhoto, all I have to do is go to the keywords panel, click on the scan keyword, and all those images just pop up on my screen right there. Boom. Okay. So keywording is really an important deal. And then the last thing that I really like about photo editing apps is all the cool ways you can output this stuff. So once you got it in a container, it's all organized and keyworded. You can send it to Slideshow. You can send it to the web. You can print a book. You can make greeting cards. You can send it to your inkjet printer. You can order prints online. All of it really simple and really easy to do. So this is why I keep talking about photo editing apps. I think they're really important, and I think at some point you have to choose one and you know, kind of get yourself organized. And if you already have one, I think it's a good idea to keep looking at what's going on. So that brings us to iPhoto 6. iPhoto 6 is really an improvement over every version of iPhoto that I've seen. Now, I've been working with it from the beginning. I'm the co-author of iPhoto, The Missing Manual, with David Polk. So we did the first book right when iPhoto originally came out, and we've done a new edition of the book with every subsequent version. And we're working on iPhoto 6 right now. So I've been really familiar with this app for a long time, and I have to tell you that this version, iPhoto 6, is a version that I think is really going to get a lot of people excited who may have passed on it before. Now, as you know, this is a Mac OS X application. So if you're a Windows user, and especially with you know, the Intel laptops and desktop computers coming out, this might be the time. And then, of course, Vista coming down the road, for Windows. Windows users are going to be at a crossroads in 2006. I mean, they can either stay where you are with XP or whatever you're using, 2000. You can go through the lengthy upgrade process to Vista, which is going to be a dynamite operating system. At first, it will have its usual hiccups, but over time, I think it's going to be fantastic. But there will be lots of upgrading involved with that. Or you can move over to OS X, especially if you're a photographer and or an audio person. Or you can move over to OS X and go with one of the new Intel Macs, which I think is also a great alternative. So it's really a good time to be looking at what's going on both platforms. Now, the thing about iPhoto 6, I just want to give you a few of the highlights, the features of this application. So runs on Mac OS X. You can get it as part of the iLife suite for $79. And that includes all the other apps that I mentioned earlier. And you can get a family pack for $99 that allows you to install all the applications on 5 computers for $99. So that's like 5 or 6 apps on 5 computers for $99. And one of those apps is iPhoto. Each iPhoto library can hold up to 250,000 images. And I'll talk more about multiple libraries a little later in the show. You now can do full screen editing, which means you can have your image full screen with a little bit of black background where it doesn't fit proportionally and have all your editing tools available. And you can also have up to 8 images in this full screen mode. They're side by side, so you can do compare mode. So you can compare, and this is really helpful when you have a series of similar shots. Full screen mode is dynamite for comparing images. iPhoto never had this before, and this is something that I think is a big deal in Aperture and Lightroom. And you have an iPhoto, which is going to cost far less than either of those other two applications. You can now store images outside of the library. So if you have all of your pictures organized on your hard drive, you can simply have iPhoto point to them. And instead of having to copy them all into the iPhoto Managed Library. This is brand new in iPhoto 6. This is more the way that iView Media Pro works. A lot of people have been asking for it. And Apple has delivered. And I have to say, I'm a little surprised about this one, that they budged on this, but I'm glad they did. You can do something now called photocasting, which is sending out your photos via RSS. This is a little controversial because a lot of people who really know RSS specification inside and out are saying that Apple hasn't really adhered to spec for this photocasting. It's going to be interesting to see how this all works out. I have a feeling that we're a little early in the photocasting thing, syndicating your photos out of iPhoto via RSS. And I think there are some refinements to come there. But it is a feature in iPhoto 6 right now. It's integrated with iWeb, which is a new app by Apple that's included in this iLife suite, where you can take your images and create not just web pages, but really amazingly gorgeous web pages, complete with slideshows and everything. So now iPhoto 6 and iWeb are totally integrated, and it works real well. And finally, the performance, I think, which was another issue with previous versions of iPhoto, performance has really changed, and it's good. I'm running iPhoto 6 on a PowerBook, 1.5 gigahertz, a 17-inch PowerBook, and it just runs great. So performance, really nice. So those are the highlights of the application right now. I want to talk a little bit about this notion of keeping your photos stored on your hard drive where they are and bringing them in to iPhoto 6 and how that all works. So what happens is, I mean, before, here's the way it used to be before. What you would do is that if you had a bunch of images on your hard drive and you wanted to manage them with iPhoto, iPhoto would copy all of those images from your hard drive into its library. Now, if your iPhoto library was on that same hard drive, essentially what you were doing was creating another copy of all the pictures you already had. Okay, so, and a lot of people didn't like that. They say, hey, you know, I want to keep my pictures where I want to keep them. I don't feel comfortable having them in this iPhoto library structure that I don't really understand, even though you can get to it. A lot of people, once you get in there, people didn't really understand it. And, you know, one thing I will say is that, yes, you can open up the iPhoto library. It's in your pictures folder, you know, on in your home directory on OS X. You can open it up and look, but don't drag things out of there. Don't change anything in there at the file system level, or you'll really muck things up. So you can peek to see where things are. You can even copy out of there. You know, if you hold down the Option key and drag something out, it will just make a copy of it. It won't actually move it. You can do that, but don't move anything out or move anything in. Make sure you do that through iPhoto itself, or you'll cause big, big problems. So anyway, and then what happens is that if you make an edit to a photo in iPhoto using its editing tools, then iPhoto makes a copy of that image that you're working on. It keeps the image that you brought in as an original, so it's untouched, but it makes a copy of it, and then whatever edits you make are applied to that copy. So within iPhoto, if you edit your images, you will have two copies. And this also applies that if you round trip to something like Photoshop. If you have Photoshop, either Elements or CS set as your external editor, and this applies, you can use other editors too, as your external editor, what happens when you edit that in Photoshop and hit save, then that photo is round-tripped back to iPhoto, and iPhoto creates a copy of it and stores those edits. So whenever you do editing, either in iPhoto or outside of iPhoto, to an iPhoto library image, it gets duplicated. Okay, so you have two copies. And this is something, this is one area where iPhoto is different than Aperture and Lightroom. Because in Aperture and Lightroom both, what they all they do is that they just keep the one photo in there. And then all the editing you do are just instructions that are applied to that one photo when you output it. It doesn't actually create duplicates of that photo unless you somehow force that to happen. But iPhoto doesn't work that way. iPhoto, when you edit, it makes duplicates of your images, okay, so that you have two in there. So then the question came up, well, if my images are stored outside of iPhoto, you know, in the file system, and I'm just having iPhoto point to them, okay, what happens then when I make an edit to one of those images? Is that image stored outside in the file system? Does iPhoto save it? Or does iPhoto then make a copy and store it in its own library? And the answer is, it makes a copy and stores it in its own library. Okay, so even though you didn't bring the image originally into iPhoto, if you start editing it, iPhoto will keep a copy of it within its library. Now, what's interesting is, and I actually wrote a weblog about this, so, and I'll in the show notes, I'll put a link to it so you can actually see the screenshots and so forth. But what's interesting is that iPhoto, within its library structure, it will keep the name of the folder that that you used, you know, that the original photo is stored in. Okay, so like, for instance, the example I did of something like Sebastopol 06 images or something like that. That was the name of the directory on my hard drive that iPhoto was pointing to. And, you know, I and worked on that image in Photoshop through iPhoto. And so when I dug down into my iPhoto library, I found that directory that was the same thing, Sebastopol 06 images, where it kept a copy, you know, the edited copy of that image that I worked on. So I'm not sure how you feel about this. Personally, I sort of like that method. I think it makes more sense to me. But anyway, that's how it works. So if you edit your images in iPhoto, regardless if the images are stored in the iPhoto library or if it's just pointing to images that are out on your hard drive, it will keep an edited copy within iPhoto. All right. And if you're working with JPEGs, the ramifications of that, you know, aren't tremendous. So that's good to know. Now, another thing that I want to talk about with iPhoto 6 is this full screen image editing. It's really, really cool. And you always have a full screen button mode anywhere. So you can just click on a thumbnail or a series of thumbnails, click on the full screen button, and they all, and iPhoto changes mode, goes to full screen mode, nice black background, and puts either one or two or however images you've selected up there. Now, you can zoom in on those images by 100% or 200%. All you have to do is click on it once to highlight it, hit the one button or the two button for 100% or 200%. And if you hit zero, it takes it back to its fit in screen size there. Or there's a slider, there's a toolbar at the bottom in full screen mode that hides, but if you take your mouse pointer down there, it pops up and it shows you all your editing tools and stuff, and there's a magnification slider down there. So you can also move that magnification slider back and forth to make your images larger. Pretty slick. And by the way, at the top, there's also a hidden thing that's the film strip of all the images that you have in that particular album. And it hides also, but you just take the mouse up there and you can see them. So it's really easy to go from, you know, to bring one image up in full screen mode. But if you wanted to go six down, you just go to that film strip, click on the one six, the thumbnail that's six down, and it will show up in full screen mode. Very handy to do. So you can have, let's say, two images up that you're debating which one's the best one. You get a nice big look at them in full screen mode. You can magnify them to look at the detail. And then you can apply your rating right there. So you can give it a 1 through 5 star rating. So the one that you like the best, you might give it 4 stars. And then the one that's close, but not quite as good, you might want to give it 3. Okay. And you can do that while you're looking at, and you can also edit them right there too, if you want to bump up the contrast or you know, desaturate it a little bit, whatever you want to do. All those tools are there in full screen. And I think one of the things that we'll see with iPhoto 6 users is that they'll be working a lot more in full screen mode than they realized at first. Because once you start working in it, you know, it's very addicting. You really, really dig it. Okay. So that is really a terrific. And by the way, the performance is really good. If you're working with JPEGs, it loads up those images very fast. Even my RAW files were loading surprisingly quickly. And the only thing that took a little bit is when I brought in really big Photoshop files, like 32 megabyte or, you know, 64 megabyte Photoshop files. I did have to wait a few seconds. You know, you get a sort of a smaller image first that's rendered, and then you have to wait a few seconds for the full screen image to appear. And on those big Photoshop files, I would have to wait a little bit before I got them. But it's something that's I think is a big deal, in that photographers, you know, who are used to really, who really want to look closely at their images and compare them. And by the way, it's a good time to add keywords too. This full screen mode is terrific. Okay. Now, I want to talk a little bit about libraries for a second, because, you know, one of the things I mentioned at the top of the show was that you can have up to 250,000 images in your iPhoto library. Now, this is one of those situations that just because you can do it, I don't think you should. Because I'm telling you, unless you've got the Macintosh of all time, unless you've got the super secret Macintosh that has, like, you know, quad Intel processors in it and on and on and on, I don't think it's going to run that well when you got 200,000 images in it. My little voice, I think, is pretty accurate on this. So, you know, one of the things that I think is kind of neat to do is actually break up your iPhoto libraries into smaller ones and then switch between them. I don't like keeping all of my images in one library. And in fact, I'm not doing as well with it these days as I used to because my images are bigger. But what I used to do is try to close out a library right around 4.5 gigabytes. Then that, you know, I would always have them backed up on external hard drives. Because, you know, as you know from all my other shows, I'm really fanatical about backing up. The one thing I never want to do is lose an image. Okay. But then if I kept them to like 4.5 gigs, I could also back up the library onto DVD. And that kind of gave me a nice option. And you can put those in a safe deposit box or take them over to mom's house or, you know, wherever you want to have like an outside location. So I think that part's pretty slick too. Now, I'm not as good at cutting them off at that point as I used to be. And that's something. But, you know, you can break up a bigger library into two DVDs. iPhoto lets you do that. And by the way, you can burn those copies from right within iPhoto. It'll do that for you. So, but the point being that I don't like my iPhoto libraries to get, you know, too big because there is a performance issue. And even with 6, as good as it is, I think it won't perform as well with 200,000 photos as it will with, 20,000. I mean, there's a certain amount of logic there. So one application that I like a lot is called iPhoto Library Manager. And I'll have the link in the show notes. And even, you know, I'm using an older version. I'm using just like version 2 of it, which I think there's a version 3.1 now. I'm using version 2. And actually, version 2 is free. It becomes shareware at version 3. And even then, I think it only costs you like $19. And he's working on a really, on an update that's tailored to iPhoto 6 that I'm sure will be really cool. The developer's name is Brian Webster, and he's done a great job with this app. And what it allows you to do is create different iPhoto libraries. You can keep them in your pictures folder on your hard drive, or you can keep them on outside hard drives, wherever you want. And then this library manager just has a dialog box where you've added all your libraries, and then you can just switch between them. Now, you have to close iPhoto, right, switch it, and then reopen it. But you can even do that with an iPhoto library manager. So now, instead of having, you know, one gigantic iPhoto library with 200,000 images, you could have 10 libraries with 20,000 images each. And you have better performance. I think you're probably less prone to file corruption. They're easier to back up, on and on and on. So it's really kind of a handy way to keep your iPhoto library lean and mean and running really well. And it's something to think about. I'll put the link in the show notes. You can go over to Brian's site and take a look at it. I've been using it for years, and I just love it. So it was just a little tip that I wanted to pass on about, even though the new version of iPhoto allows you to have these gigantic image libraries, I don't necessarily think that you should. I would still recommend using iPhoto Library Manager. And there's another one called, I believe, iPhoto Buddy. That's pretty good too. So whatever works for you, take a look at it though and see what you think. Bottom line is, that right now, of the new apps, that the new photo editing and management apps that have been announced, Lightroom is in beta, so we're going to watch it very closely and see what happens there. I'm sure it's going to be excellent. It's still, I mean, right now, even in beta, it's fun. Aperture, which right now is at $499. And then iPhoto 6, which you get as part of the whole iLife suite, where you get all the other apps too, total for all of them in one package is $79. And at the moment, I tell you, iPhoto 6, if you're running a Mac, is very tough customer to beat. The performance is good. It's got really great, and you know, they added things now like greeting cards and calendars in addition to ordering online prints. It's got all sorts of fun stuff to do. It's great at keywording and very good at editing. And it's beautiful to look at and very easy to use. So it's something that I think you should consider as you're looking at what am I going to do next with my photo apps. And if you don't have anything set up right now, if you're just using the file system and you just want to get going and you want to get going fast, I would take a look at iPhoto 6. Now, some people have asked me about talking about some of the other apps, such as iView and so forth. And I'm going to try to find a way to give you a roundup of those, Picasa, so that it will help you do these comparisons. And we're just going to keep talking about photo management because, as you know, I think it's really important. And I want to make sure that you can find your photos and that they're backed up and that, you know, you just have confidence that when you're shooting, you're not going to lose anything that you take a picture of. All right. Happy shooting. See you next week. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Your questions and comments, email them to questions@thedigitalstory.com. For show notes, web blogs, and informative articles, visit www.thedigitalstory.com. We'll see you next time on The Digital Story.